I'm going to call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that the time is currently 2:06 p.m. on Wednesday, February 7th, 2018. Present today, we have Representative Ortiz, Representative Kawasaki, Representative Wilson, Co-Chair Seaton, Representative Grin, Representative Vice Chair Guerra, Representative Guttenberg, Representative Thompson, and myself, Co-Chair Foster. And Representative Pruitt has been previously excused from today's meeting. Before we start, please mute your cell phones. And at this meeting, we'll have the second hearing on HB 215. It's a bill dealing with public health fees, and it's by the House Finance Committee. And if it is the will of the committee, it is my intent to move the bill today. And then our next bill after that will be HB 236, which is a bill extending the senior benefits program by Representative Kawasaki. And it's my intent to take public testimony on HB 236 today. And so with that, let's roll right into HB 215, an act relating to program receipts and relating to fees for services provided by the Department of Health and Social Services by the House Finance Committee. We last heard this bill on February 2, and there were no amendments received on this bill. And so at this time, I'd like to ask Representative Seaton's aide, Elizabeth Diamant, and the Alaska Division of Public Health Deputy Director Jill Lewis, if you could please come to the table and put yourselves on the record. And just a reminder, since there are two female voices for transcription, if you could just identify yourselves prior to speaking. So with that, if you two, I don't know if you've got anything to say or if we want to jump right into committee questions and comments. Was there anything that you needed to put on the record?
For the record, this is Elizabeth Diamant, and I am aide to Representative Seaton, and I don't think I have anything else to add to the record at this point.
Good afternoon. I'm Jill Lewis. I'm Deputy Director for the Alaska Division of Public Health, and I also don't think I have anything particular to add to the record, and I'm anxious to hear any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you. Okay, do we have any questions of the committee before we go to the explanation of the fiscal note, Representative Guerra?
Oddly, before we go to the explanation of the fiscal note, Mr. Chair, you gave me the explanation the other day, and I can't remember why $600,000 in additional revenue from these fees comes with a reduction in $200,000 in undesignated general funds. You explained that the other day, and I just can't, I don't have my notes or something. I don't know why I write notes if I don't keep them.
Sure. Through the chair, Representative Guerra, the $200,000 in reductions to the general fund is only one of the example programs that we used to craft the fiscal note, has any existing funding. And so we're reflecting the fact that we would reduce our general fund expenditure and be able to replace it by having fees. And so we would, in that case, it would be a swap.
Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you. And I guess this has to do pertaining to that particular issue in the fiscal note. Because these fees may be in the future collected, but still has to go through what I think is a kind of a long process. You know, we've had the discussions about seeing program receipts in the budget, and my concern is that we end up putting program receipts in that just never get collected. And can you make a comment to that?
Certainly, through the chair, Representative Kawasaki. I think that we have tried to address that in the fiscal note by not actually showing any particular receipts collected in the first year, in fiscal year 2019. We expect that that would be a year that we would spend developing the regulations, holding the preliminary meetings with our stakeholders, so that in the following year, in year two and out, we hope we would be able to collect these receipts.
And one other separate question.
Sure, Representative Kawasaki.
And then I know this was explained last time during the slide presentation, but specifically on the waiving of fees, under Section 2, you can, the commissioner can waive fees, the department can waive fees for, if it finds that the fee collection is not feasible or not in the public interest. And then there was a further bullet in the slide presentation that says undermines the division's public health mission. And I just wanted to hear a little bit more about at what point in the process is that third bullet captured?
Thank you, through the chair, Representative Kawasaki. That is a little bit of a subjective analysis. When we are looking at instituting a new fee, we have many things to weigh. And part of judging whether or not something is going to be in the public interest is if it would undermine our mission to protect and promote the health of Alaskans. And if we would not pursue a fee that we found out either through our own analysis or in working with our stakeholders in the preliminary meetings, that actually was not going to achieve our goals. In some cases, a fee can become a barrier to taking advantage of the services, and if that was going to negatively impact the public's health, then we would not continue to pursue.
That's good enough. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Guttenberg and then Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In another bill that I'm working on, the Department of Administration is very concerned about changing the numbers on something like this where they're expecting healthcare fees, healthcare costs to go up for state employees. And although I don't know where they think it's going to come from, but they're anticipating rising healthcare costs. So has the Department of Administration weighed in on this as far as how it's going to affect the state's cost of healthcare as well?
Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg, I'm not sure that I fully understand your question. Is it that if by filling these positions would we be incurring additional health care costs?
Yep. Well, just by filling the positions and having fees on recoveries to Department of Health, is there any way that would impact the state's health care system for its employees? And have they expressed any concern about that?
Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg, no one, we have not had any concerns expressed, and these positions would impact health care costs no more than any other state employee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Wilson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'm sorry I missed this one. So I just want to make sure I have it in my head correctly. So we're charging patients, correct? It's a sliding fee, or am I incorrect?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, the examples of right now we have, I think I have to back up a second. Public health already has authority to collect fees for certain clinical services. Generally, those are the types of fees that we would charge to an individual member of the public, things like lab fees or public health nursing fees or specialty clinics, some of those kinds of fees. The type of things that we're not able to do and that this bill addresses are some areas of opportunity that we have in professional services like consultations, expert technical assistance, specialized data analyses, and some other administrative things like administrating a loan repayment program and things like that. And those would generally be charged to the entity that is using the services that are, so they would be tied back to that, but not exactly to the an individual member of the public most of the time.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, do we have any further questions? Representative Guerra?
Thank you to Director Lewis, to Ms. Diamond, to Representative Seaton's office. So last year, the HESS subcommittee came out with a recommendation that we increase some fees. Those fees were not fleshed out very well last year. We didn't want to create unintended consequences, and the department followed through, Representative Seaton's office followed through, and I appreciate this bill. So thank you for your work.
Okay. Seeing no further questions, Vice Chair Guerra, if you could read the fiscal note for HB 215 into the record.
Sure. House Bill 215, Version O, has one fiscal note from the Department of Health and Social Services under the Appropriation of Public Health, Allocation Public Health Administrative Services, OMB Component 292. The fiscal note reflects a $200,000 expected reduction in undesignated general funds starting next fiscal year, 2020. But the raising of roughly $600,000 in revenue from these fees, so for a net positive of $400,000.
Thanks, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you just give me a better idea of what data are you using? Just last year's data, or did you take a five-year average of things that you've been doing and that you could have charged for to come up with the $600,000? I would just kind of want to, we're kind of looking at what's really real and we can actually collect versus put that money in then coming back because you weren't able to get those fees.
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, I will admit that there is a certain level of uncertainty with these, as these are not fees we have ever collected before because we have never had the authority. We have looked in each of these individually. We have looked at these to see what we think the volume would be and made a guess at what we think would be a reasonable fee. As we're required, we have reasonable fees and they can be no more than cost. And so we have looked at that to see individually which each of these example programs would be, and have made the best attempt at what we think is both supporting the program and reasonable that we actually would be able to collect.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions on the fiscal note? Okay, seeing none, Treasurer Seaton, I'd like to entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House Bill 215, version 30-LS0673/O from the House Finance Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Do we have any objections? Seeing no objections, HB 215, version 30-LS0673/O for Oscar. Is reported from the House Finance Committee with individual recommendations in the attached fiscal note. And so with that, if we could take a brief at ease and sign the report. House Finance is back on record, and the time is 2:22 p.m. Our next bill up today is HB 236, which is a bill extending the senior benefits payment program by Representative Kawasaki. And the committee does have a committee substitute for them. Co-Chair Seaton, if we could get that before us, get a motion on the table.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the committee substitute for House Bill 236, version 30LS0754/D as the committee's working draft.
And I will object for the purposes of discussion, and I'll have my staff come up, Ms. Jane Pearson, and if you could explain the differences.
For the record, my name is Jane Pearson, staff to Representative Neil Foster, and the change in this bill is that we have extended the senior benefits program from 4 years to 6 years at the request of the sponsor.
Okay, are there any questions on that before we adopt the CS? Seeing no questions, I will remove my objection. Are there any further objections? Seeing none, version D, just to restate, House Bill 236, version 30-LS0754/D is before the committee. And so with that, I guess, let's see here, briefities. Okay. House Finance back on record at 2:24 p.m. And so we've got version D before us, and if we could have Representative Scott Kawasaki and his aide, Mercedes Colbert, please come to the table and put yourselves on the record, and if you could present the newest version to the committee.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the House Finance Committee. Representative Scott Kawasaki, House District 1, representing the City of Fairbanks, for the record.
Hello, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Mercedes Colbert, staff to represent Kawasaki.
Thank you. I want to be brief because I know there's several folks who've been waiting in the audience for about an hour to testify on behalf of this bill. House Bill 236 is a very simple bill. It is about grandparents. It's about grandmothers and grandfathers being able to teach their children how to hunt and fish and teaching them old family recipes. It's about keeping grandparents here in the state. It basically, all this bill does is extends the current senior benefits program. Extending this important program would allow some seniors to continue to live in Alaska. House Bill 236, the version that was just adopted, would extend senior benefits up to 2024, ensuring another 6 years of support for the lowest income seniors across Alaska. Without action on this particular bill, the program would end this summer. The senior benefits program protects low-income seniors by providing them with a modest cash benefit to pay for expenses, food, heating, electricity, transportation, and prescription medication. The program was established in 2007 and currently provides assistance to nearly 12,000 Alaskans age 65 and older with incomes at the 75, 100, and 175% poverty level. Assistance ranges from $76 to $250, although there are some changes that are coming specifically because of the number of seniors that are within the system. The total dollar amount requested over the next 6 years would be exactly the same, and so we anticipate that with a growing senior population, those numbers would have to change through regulation. This program protects seniors who have spent a lifetime building Alaska. It lends a hand to low-income seniors who need assistance to help make ends meet, and terminating this program could potentially put thousands of seniors at risk of losing means to buy essential things like groceries, medication, transportation, rent, and utilities. And I will say that this this bill, House Bill 236, has received extensive vetting. It was introduced last March. Representative Sponholz of the House Health and Social Services Committee created a subcommittee, along with Representative Fansler of Bethel, Representative Colleen Sullivan Leonard of the MATSU. We held listening sessions. They had three, I think maybe even four meetings within the Health and Social Services Committee, and we tried to get as much input across the state this fall in September in a statewide listening session, and I think we did that. We got some valuable information, and I think that the folks who are here to testify behind me will attest to that fact. So with that, I will defer to the chair.
Thank you, Representative Kawasaki. And was there anything else, Ms. Colbert?
Mr. Chair, I can go over a little bit more about the program, about the eligibility requirements, something like that.
I think we're, yeah, thank you. Thank you for the offer. Okay, great. Let's. I also want to mention that we do have available, if there are questions, Ms. Shonda O'Brien, the Assistant Commissioner for the Department of Health and Social Services, as well as Jessica Bogart, Administration Operations Manager for the Office of Public Assistance at the Department of Health and Social Services. And we also have an invited testifier on the bill today. And so at this time, I'd like to ask Denise Daniello from the Alaska Commission on Aging, if you could come to the table and put yourself on the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Chair Seaton, Chair Foster, and members of Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Denise Daniello, and I'm the Executive Director for the Alaska Commission on Aging. The Alaska Commission on Aging is a board under the Department of Health and Social Services that works to plan services for seniors, educate Alaskans about senior issues, and to provide recommendations regarding budget and policy items affecting seniors. So on behalf of the Commission, we're here to provide strong support for House Bill 236, extension of the Senior Benefits Program, because it makes such a significant difference in the quality of life for more than 11,000 seniors. As you may know, financial security is a serious worry for many older people who live on fixed incomes. And over the years, growth in the Senior Benefits Program has been very modest. Although we've seen about a 4% annual increase in the senior population, we just had one this past year. We have now 120,908 seniors age 60 years and older, $4,000 person increase over the last year. We've seen very modest, very small increases in the senior benefits program, only about 1.7% statewide. Yesterday, this week, the Commission on Aging has been meeting in Juneau, and hopefully some of them are visiting with you, and if you haven't visited with them already, you'll see them soon. And we held a joint senior advocacy meeting with AgeNet, the Pioneer Home Advisory Board, AARP Alaska, and the Alaska Commission on Aging, and all of us are very much in support of passage of this bill. So we see this bill as not being a handout for seniors. In fact, it's a hand up. And it helps so many people, including grandparents, raising grandchildren, and many older people living alone. So we thank you for your support of this bill, and I'm available for questions.
Thank you, Ms. Daniello. Are there any questions of the committee? Seeing no questions, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead and open it up for public testimony. And we have before us HB 236. It appears that we have two people in the room here. Mr. David Blacketer, the Alaska Commission on Aging, in the room. If you'd like to come up and just put yourself on the record, your name and your affiliation, and proceed with your testimony.
Is Thank you, Chair Foster and the rest of the committee. I'm David Blackiter. I'm the present chair of the Alaska Commission on Aging. I also, for several years, been vice president or president of the Kodiak Senior Center Board of Directors. So my testimony is for asking your support, continued support for House Bill 236, in that my wife and I receiving senior benefits. We have been for a few years. And it's muchly appreciated. My testimony is that we get our Social Security, and that's the only other income is Social Security. We get that the third of the month because we're on Medicaid, and so that means we have to get it on the third. So a lot of bills are due on the first. So, and say we're in the third tier, so we get $76 a piece. And $152 at the end of the month we get on the 28th is a very big boost so we can pay our rent on time. Granted, we can save a little bit through the month, you know, from our initial deposit in the first of the month, that we can save enough with the senior benefits help, we can pay our rent on time. Because if you don't pay it on time, there's a penalty. And I don't like being penalized, especially when I can't do anything about it. But we're so thankful for your support and this senior benefits bill. It's helped us. I think, that, like Denise said, there's around 1,200 people in the state on senior benefits, and I think there's about 236 of us in Kodiak alone. And we sure appreciate your support, and may God bless all of you as you make the right decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blackiter. Any questions from the committee? And it appears there are none, so appreciate your testimony. Thank you. Looks like we have one other person in the room here. It's Jane Andreen. If you're here, if you could also put your name and your affiliation on the record and proceed.
Good afternoon. My name is Jane Andreen. I live in Douglas, and I'm here as a volunteer for AARP and testifying in support of AARP, which I'd like to mention has 95,000 members here in Alaska. Some of us know that well. Pointing to my silver hair. I actually was in Minnesota last week visiting my 80-something-year-old parents and talking with them, with my father in particular, about how we could best sustain their quality of life and keep them in their homes. And it really brings home for me the changes that people go through as they age and the increased needs that they have. AARP is definitely supporting this, and we appreciate the amendment that was introduced today and approved. The people that will most benefit from this, you have heard from the previous speaker, but one of them, one group is older women. We know that women do not have the same earning power throughout the course of their life as men do in many cases, which means they don't have as many reserves. We also know that women outlive men as a rule, and that often means that as the husband faces declining health, a lot of the family's resources may be tied up in that and used for that. So when the woman becomes a widow, she has less than what she really needs. Another group that we are interested and concerned about are the low-income workers, the people that have worked all of their lives but at lower-paying jobs that have not allowed them to build a retirement, and they're living on their Social Security, as you just heard. Rural Alaskans, especially those with a subsistence lifestyle, do not have access to the funds that are necessary that even with a subsistence lifestyle, people need in order to pay for their heating, to pay for food, etc. And finally, the last group that we're concerned about are the oldest of us, those in their 80s and 90s and now in their hundreds. I think about my father-in-law, who was retired at the age of 65. He gave my mother-in-law 1 week's notice that it was happening. I don't think she was too happy about that. But he was able to live in his home until he was 99 years old, where he passed away actually very quickly. It was a positive experience for the family to be able to have him in his home. But his resources were basically used up at that point in time. These are the people that we see have increasing health costs, have increasing needs that for services and whatnot, that without the flexibility of an increasing income to meet those needs. And so for that reason, we really support what is provided by the Senior Longevity Program. It's not the Senior Longevity Program anymore. Senior Benefits Program. Sorry, I've been in Alaska for a while. Yeah, so anyway, but if there's any questions.
Are there any questions of the committee? Seeing no questions, thank you very much.
Sorry about that slip.
No, we do the same thing. Okay. Well, I guess, are there any further questions or comments on this before we proceed? It is generally my policy to have at least two hearings on all bills. Representative Ortiz, did you have a? Oh.
I think I'm just going to say what everybody else is feeling. I think we all know this bill. We know what it does for seniors, and I don't see any reason why we should hold it. I mean, I appreciate it on most of the bills that we do, but this is one of those I think pretty much everybody around the table has seen it and appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Representative Wilson, and that gives support to my going ahead and moving forward to move this bill from committee today. I think it's got strong bipartisan support. Sounds like there are no amendments that are intended on this bill, and therefore let's go ahead and do this in one hearing today. So with that, Co-Chair Seaton, I'd like to entertain we have a fiscal note. Okay. Let's take a brief at ease and find out who can. Oh, Representative Gren?
It was regarding the fiscal note. It was regarding the fiscal note and an amendment.
Okay, let's
and
take a brief
new
please.
One coming. Okay, House Finance is back on record at 2:39 p.m., so we will move the bill out of House Finance today. We do need to read the fiscal note into the record, so Representative Guerra.
Thank you. House Bill 236, version D.
Correct.
Has one fiscal note. The fiscal note is fiscal note number one, dated 2/7/18. Department of Health and Social Services, Appropriation Public Assistance, Allocation Senior Benefits Payment Program, OMB Component Number 2897. It shows in a consistent cost of this program from FY19 through FY22 of $19,986,100. That's listed in the Grants and Benefits section. It's undesignated general funds. And there is an amended fiscal note, I believe, coming forward to reflect the views of this committee that that should be extended out to the year 2024.
Any questions on the fiscal note? Seeing no questions, I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 236, version 30LS0754/D with individual from House Finance Committee with individual recommendations and forthcoming fiscal note.
Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, let's see here. HB 236, CS for HB 236, version 30-LS0754/D for Delta. With the forthcoming fiscal notes and individual recommendations is adopted and passed out of House Finance. So if we could all stay and just sign the sheet. And with that, let's see, I think that's the last thing on our agenda for today. And our next scheduled meeting is tomorrow, Thursday, February 8th at 1:30 p.m. And at that meeting, we'll hear HB 213, the Public School Trust Fund Bill, as well as HB 142, the Unemployment Compensation Benefits Bill. So. If there's nothing to come before the committee, we will be adjourned at 2:42 p.m. Thank you.